Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Saturday night here at Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, and that's one of my favorite all-time songs. And yes, maybe it dates me, but La Freak has always been one of those songs that just makes you want to get up and dance or do strange things. And it sort of fits with my guest tonight because she is an author, and the books she writes are a little freaky, but in a good way. But before we get to her, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to my guest, to my listeners, because this is not my show, it's your show, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are making this show so successful. We are so close to 100,000 listeners that it is frightful. It is very, very frightful. And we're right on the edge of 80,000 listeners just on the show here itself, and we're just about to turn the corner on 100,000 listeners with all the podcasts. Now, for those of y'all that don't know, this show, when it goes up into archives, is not only heard here on Blog Talk Radio, it is heard on iTunes, it is heard on Stitcher, it is heard on FM.com, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, SoundCloud, MixCloud, Spreaker, Podcast and Podcast Garden. So if you have any of those podcasts, or if you want to download any of those podcasts, feel free and share it with everybody, because we're heard in over 70 countries around the world. So my guests are getting heard in places they might not have been able to be heard before. And Australia, thank y'all, because y'all once again continue to be our biggest listening base here at Blog Talk Radio. Y'all are 96% of the listening base. So in turn, I want to give kudos to a band that comes out of your country. It's the Teskey Brothers. They are absolutely amazing. They are a blues band, and if I didn't know better, I'd swear that they were born on, raised, and started singing on Bourbon Street, because they sound like Otis Redding and Eric Clapton, Robert Johnson, Johnny Lang, B.B. King, all rolled into one nice, tight package. These guys are absolutely amazing. So, again, if you haven't listened to them, you don't go now, but later on go and pull up the Teskey Brothers and listen to their music. They're on Reverb Nation. I think they're on iTunes. They're on CD Baby. You can get their music anywhere. These guys are amazing. Now, Monday night, we're going to have shows every night next week from Monday through Saturday. But Monday night, the show will be at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And my guest will be the one and only best-selling author, James Swain. If you've never read any of his books, do, because he writes some absolutely amazing books. I met Jim years ago in Sarasota when I went to an independent bookstore and did a book signing, and he also at the same time was doing a book signing there. And he and I talked for a long time. It was right after I published my first true crime, Silent Scream, and he is just a sweet, sweet man, and he has generously agreed to come and sit down with us for an hour on Monday night at 9 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio. So join us for that. I'll mention it again before we leave the show tonight. On January the 5th at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, put this on your calendars, because we will, and tune into the Investigation Discovery Channel, because I will be on that channel on the show Married with Secrets discussing Gerard Schaefer and my book Silent Scream, because that book is about his victims. He was Florida's first serial killer way before Bundy, way before Danny Rollin, and he killed between 1969 and 1972, and he killed between 9 and 35 young women. And he was a cop. He was a deputy sheriff for Martin County, which is the next county down from us, and nobody knew what he was doing until two girls got away. Not even his wife. Nobody knew it. So mark that down on your calendars for January the 5th at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And if you want to know more about him before you watch the show, go and pick up the book Silent Scream under my name, Yvonne Mason. Now, enough of self-pimping. Tonight's show is I've waited a minute to get this beautiful lady on my show, because she is a fairly new author. She's only been out there for like 19 months. So in this industry, she's considered a newbie, but she has put together some really, really beautiful, beautiful books that we will be talking about. But I want to tell you a little bit about her. Her name is L.K. Shaw, and she is a physical therapist assistant. I may need her to get to teach me how to talk again. And she does this by day, but at night her other persona comes out. She's a writer and a social media addict, sort of like me. She resides in South Carolina, but she's not a native South Carolinian. But you can't tell it when you talk to her because she has adopted the South apparently with all of her heart. And she has a high-maintenance beagle mix pup named Miss P. Now, I don't know who has who. I think Miss P owns her. We'll talk about that. And she should probably, Miss P should probably have her own Instagram account. I mean, Miss P really believes she's a four-legged person, not a four-legged animal. L.K. is an avid reader since childhood, and she became hooked on historical romance novels in high school. It wasn't until within the last 7 or 8 years when she tried her hand at contemporary romances. There is a difference, ladies and gentlemen. While hysterical romance remains one of her favorite go-to genres, romantic suspense, especially with a little kick thrown in, remember what I said, her books have a little twist to them, have become a first pick from her TBR list. For y'all that don't know that, it's to be read. She initially began writing in November of 2015 as part of the National Novel Writing Month, when suddenly the story became something more than just a, sure, I'll try to put some words together. The vision for the story snowballed, and before she knew it, she began taking steps toward publishing. Each book in her first series feature romantic suspense and BDSM combined, and she loves to interact with her readers, so when we get down to the end of the show, she'll tell you how she can be reached. L.K., thank you, my dear, for spending an hour with me on a Saturday night.
Oh, Yvonne, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, where else would you want to be? I mean, it's snowing up there. It's cold down here. Who wants to be out in this? I don't.
This is true. This is true. It's the nights you want to just sit in your house by a fire drinking some hot cocoa.
Exactly. Or talking on the phone to us and having a nice chat just between two friends and 100,000 other close friends. Close
oh,
and personal.
Of course. I mean, what else
what
is there?
Is it, right? Now, how in the world, I mean, you're a PTA during the day. You write at night. When you were a little girl, was this even, were either one of these things even on your radar?
No, not at all. I love to read. I always read, even when I was little. I had the Richard Scarry books when I was a child. I had the Laura Ingalls Wilder, Little House on the Prairie box set. I read all the time, constantly. I was a reader. I loved to read, and even growing up. And I actually, it was the senior, or the summer between my junior and senior year in high school, and I had run out of books. I was reading suspense for teenagers. It was Christopher Pike and R.L. Stein. And I ran out of books to read. And my mother was a reader as well. I grew up reading with her. And she handed me one of her romance novels, and that was it. So, and then even being growing up, I didn't even know that I wanted to be in healthcare until I was probably in my late teens.
What made you decide to go into that field? Because that can be a very unforgiving field.
Well, I originally thought I wanted to be a nurse, but then I remembered that I didn't like needles, and I thought that was probably not going to be a good idea. And so I really didn't know what I wanted to be. I just knew I wanted to work in healthcare. And I was an office manager for many, many years. I actually worked for a university, and I was scrolling through the program of classes that they offered, and I ran across physical therapy. And I was, you know, reading what it was about, and I it really just kind of struck something in me that I was really interested in that. And unfortunately, at the time, I couldn't pursue it because it was a full-time master's class, and I worked full-time. I wasn't married. I wouldn't have been able to continue with my education. So I just kind of let it go, and then I ran across someone who said that a physical therapist assistant was something that existed, and it was what it was like. I was meant to be there.
My son is a PTA, and that is a tough degree to get. He thought he wasn't going to make it, but he's a brilliant, brilliant young man, and he didn't get into it until in his early 50s. So when someone says, well, I'm a PTA, and people go, yeah, you're just an assistant. No, you almost have to be a PT to get that degree. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the only difference between an assistant and the actual PT is that the PT can do the evaluations and discharges. But, you know, the assistant is the one who also does all the treatment. You know, we look at the eval, we decide on what we're going to do, to how we interpret the evaluation, and then we treat the patient accordingly in order to give them the best quality of life and to make them, hopefully, get them well and get them home.
I'm going to tell you a real quick story, and you will appreciate this. And I know you follow me on Facebook, so you remember back in August when my husband had colon cancer? He had to have a resection. Well, my husband is not wheelchair bound, but scooter bound. He can't walk, but maybe two steps on a good day. That's from his scooter to the toilet. But he has to hold on to all of the handicap things I have in my house. Well, after surgery, now he hadn't eaten in 9 days, nor had he slept, because you know a hospital is no place to get well. It's where you go to die, and so he was very, very weak. And so the nurse, bless her heart, said, I'm going to get some physical therapy for him. I said, okay, fine. So she sends the PT up to the room, and he says, Jack, show me what you can do. Well, my husband, you know, at that point, he couldn't stand up at all because he didn't have his scooter, and his scooter is like a walker to him. That's how he uses it. I mean, he depends on his scooter like most people depend on a walker. So he couldn't get up, and he said, well, we're going to do some PT. I said, fine. He says, well, no, we're going to send him across the street to rehab. And I said, no, I don't think so. He said, what do you mean? We're going to admit him over there. I said, no, he's going home with me. He said, Vaughn, you can't handle him. I said, yes, I can. He said, what if he falls? I said, I'll pick him up. Now, I'm 4'11 and weigh 90 pounds. My husband weighs 264. I picked him up before. So this 6'12" man and I are having this discussion. I'm looking up at him, shaking my finger in his face, and I could see it in his eyes. He's laughing at me, right? So I finally get him out of the ICU and get him down to a room. Well, when I get him down to a room, I go and get his scooter out of the car. And I told the nurses there, I said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to get his scooter. I'm going to park it over against the wall, and y'all are going to help me walk him to that scooter. They said, okay, show us what you want us to do. Well, we did. He got in the scooter. He ate his breakfast, and then he's zipping up and down the hallways because he can't get in the bathroom in the room because it's a semi-private room. It's not handicap accessible, so we have to go to the public bathroom. Well, he's getting up and down and moving around like he would at home because he has a scooter. And so
you know, when you're used to that,
it makes a difference. So I send the assistant down to get the PT guy, and he comes up. He says, okay, Mr. Jack, show me what you can do. Well, Jack was sitting in his scooter in the room, so he plants his feet on either side of the scooter and grabs hold of the turning thing and stands up. And the PT goes, Yvonne, I bow to you. I bow to you. I never would have believed it. I said, we know what we're doing. We did this a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing. And, you know, we try to encourage, you know, family support because you guys know your loved ones best and what's going to be best for them. And so, and you know what, you know, what he's capable of.
Well, it was a funny day. So when I read that you were a PTA, I said, yeah, LK will appreciate this short story.
Yeah.
From a
good
man
for him. I'm glad he was able to do that because that's fantastic.
Yeah, because, see, they were ready to put him in rehab, and I'm going, no, he's not going to go over there and be admitted to rehab because that's not going to happen. He's going home with me. So, so I said, yeah,
well,
okay. Well,
I'm glad he was able to, for sure.
And sadly, there's so many that can't, that don't have that support.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay,
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go from a PTA to writing. What in the world, my darling friend, got you to hook up with Nano?
It was really peer pressure. I had several friends ask me, you know, have you ever going to try your hand at writing? And I said, no, I just like to read. I just want to read. And I finally was badgered enough that they just talked me into doing Nano. So I said, all right, I'll try it and just see how many words I can get written down. And, you know, I didn't really have a story. I said, well, I just started putting words on paper. And like I said, it just kind of grew from there.
So you're easily influenced by peer pressure, I see.
Sadly, yes. Sadly, yes. It doesn't take, now, if it's something I really don't want to do, but if it's something I'm kind of on the fence about, then yeah, it's pretty easy to push me over the edge into doing something you want me to do if I'm already kind of on the fence about it.
Well, what, aside from being pressured by your peers, was it because you had read romance for so long that you figured, okay, I can do something with this and give it an added kick? Or did it just happen?
I honestly probably never considered writing anything but romance. It's what I read. I have probably read, you know, not to date myself, but also I do love the song Le Freak as well. but probably read in my life probably almost 10,000 books, and probably at least 75% of them have been romances. And so there was really no other thought process that it would not be a romance that I would write.
And the added kick, was it something you planned, or was it that muse in your, and ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have voices talking to you when you're a writer, then maybe you're not a writer, because they won't shut up and they tell us what to write. We may set out with a story idea, but they have other ideas, and if we don't write what they want us to write, they shut up and go away, don't they, LK?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. And sometimes what you think you want to write is not what you end up writing. Sometimes new voices enter and say, I need to be heard, and they push the other voices kind of to the back.
That is the, let me tell you, I was doing an interview on this show with my good friend Sherry Rensler, and I was working on a trilogy that takes place in Scotland and in England, and it's in 1888, and it's witches and warlocks and fairies and ghosts and dragons and shapeshifters. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, a book that I had put aside years ago, this voice says, Asha, it's my turn, mes amis. You will write me now, and I'm going, shut up, Lafitte. I'm not writing you now. Oh, yeah. Yes, you will be writing me now. And he starts the story while I'm doing the interview. And I could
not. That sounds about how they are.
Yeah. Just, I wanted to smack him. Because I'm, and the funny thing is, I'd already started the story. He wanted me to start it, but because it was the way I wanted it to go. But then he says, "Oh no, shit, you're changing it. Something. It's not going to be that way." So, okay, fine. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we put up with as writers. They The characters will drive us crazy, and so will our four-legged humans. Let's talk about Miss P for a minute. You've got me intrigued with her.
She's something else, that's for sure.
She's a beagle mix. What is she mixed with, or do you know?
I do not know. When I have suspicions just based on her body structure and her personality. I don't know exactly, but I thought about doing a DNA test on her just to see if my suspicions are close. But she almost looks like she's mixed with either Boxer, which is the favored of other people who think she's mixed with, or Pitbull. But if you look at her, she looks like a beagle in the face and her ears. But body structure, she's very tall and she's very muscular. She's got the barrel chest and the muscular shoulders and thighs, and she's very strong. At different angles, she looks. She could be either Boxer or Pitbull in her mix. But again, I don't actually know. Her paperwork from the shelter says beagle mix. So.
And I bet her personality is that of a beagle.
She's food motivated, and she's easily distracted by smells. Once she gets her nose smelling something, the hound takes in, and she will keep her nose to the ground and just sniff and sniff, and she will not listen to you, pay attention to you. Her focus is on whatever she smells.
I think she does need her own Instagram account.
She has many pictures. She has taken over my Instagram account many times, so she pretty much needs her own, but I'm trying to, not go there yet, but I see it happening.
Oh, okay, you've got to start her own Facebook page.
Oh, I don't want to give her a big head. She already thinks she's all that, so.
Well, she is, and a bag of chips. Ladies and gentlemen, she is, according to LK, if you don't feed her when she thinks it's time, and she's fed in her time, not their time, she will not leave you alone until you go and feed her.
Yes.
Yes,
5 o'clock in the morning, she's on the bed, nudging you, waking you up. It's time for breakfast.
At 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
She can tell time. Oh,
she can tell time.
At 5 o'clock, has she lost her mind? Most normal people are asleep at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know. Usually I go back to sleep, get up, kind of bleary-eyed, feed her, and then go back to sleep.
Oh, my word. Yeah, you have to give her own Instagram account, because with a name like Miss P, I mean, the dog is destined. Oh, excuse me. The four-legged human, we must not insult her. She's laying at your feet. The four-legged human is destined to be a star. She is a diva.
Oh, she is, very much so. And yes, she lets her beauty get to her head.
But I bet she's also a great protector.
You know, that's the sad thing. No, she's the worst guard dog ever.
Really?
She's the worst guard dog ever. I told this story to my readers, and totally true. I came home really late one night. I walked through the entire house to my room. She was sleeping in another room at the time. Came into my room, went back down to the other end of the hallway, back to my room, back to the kitchen, and back into my room, and not once did she even hear me. Never came to investigate, never even twitched. But if I'm in the kitchen and I open a Ziploc bag that maybe might contain some food, She will hear me from three rooms away. And she will come running.
It's called selective hearing.
Yeah, but for real, I did. I don't even know what time it was, but it was like 1 o'clock in the morning I came home. And I walked through the house like three times, and she never even came out to investigate, didn't even pay attention. So, no, she's the worst guard dog ever.
That's funny. Well, maybe she knew the sound of your walk. Maybe she knew the sound of the car and knew all was well.
Maybe. I can't give her that much credit, though, because it wasn't the first time that it happened.
Oh, yeah, you got to get.
She was sleeping. She just didn't care.
You've got to give her own Instagram account. Now, I want to jump back to your books because we're really going to get heavy into your books. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about her books because, no, y'all can't go now. You have to wait until after the show because you're going to miss something. What made you add the suspense and the BDSM to your romance? It almost seems like an oxymoron.
Well, they're both two different elements that are incorporated in the book. And the romantic suspense was really, truly just by accident. I was writing the first book, which was a BDSM intro. It was a woman who, and why I do BDSM is that's what I like to read, and I'm also interested in the lifestyle. I was kind of exploring it before I moved to South Carolina, and South Carolina, you know, it's a little more reserved down here than where I was previously living, so the community isn't quite the same, but I enjoy, that's what I love to read. You know, I like reading about BDSM, so it's kind of what I know a little bit about, and so that's where that came in. And then the romance with suspense, you know, I kind of wanted to add another element to the story to make it a little more interesting.
Now, for the folks that maybe have been living under a rock or just now got internet or electricity and are going, what the hell are they talking about? BDSM. What is that? A new food? What is it?
No. BDSM it's an acronym. It stands for bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, and sadist and masochist, or sadism and masochism. It's basically a kinky lifestyle. Is kind of a broad general definition, but it's so many more things. But it boils down to that's what the definition of it is that the BDSM stands for, the acronym.
Okay, so explain again for those that are going, oh, what the hell are these people talking about? How is it much more? Because it is much more. But explain to those that don't understand it how it's much more than the acronym.
That's a very deep question. It's not even something that I can even answer in our show, even if we talked about it for the entire hour. There's so many dynamics to BDSM. It's all in how your relationship with your partner and how you want to interpret those letters. You don't have to be all of them. Obviously, you can be into dominance and submission without being into sadism and masochism, which is someone who likes to give pain and someone who likes to receive it. You don't have to be all-inclusive. There are so many different ways even domination and submission can be portrayed in your relationship. It's really how you interpret it It's all about communication and
trust
with your partner. That's the number one thing is communication. You have to, you know, discuss what it is that you want to try. You can try different things. You know, there's so many aspects to it. And like I said, I couldn't even explain the whole and all of it to you in an hour.
Not only do you have to have the communication, but there has to be a high level of trust on both sides in order for it not to go into abuse.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because that can be misinterpreted. You know, your relationship with someone and how they treat you by other people, and then it can also be where someone doesn't understand your limits or doesn't acknowledge your limits, and that is when it steps into abuse. You negotiate what your limits are before you even engage in any type of a relationship with someone in the BDSM community. You talk about what it is that you will or will not allow. There's a thing called a safe word, so that when you reach a point where you're no longer comfortable or this is not what you want, you say your safe word. And if you're in a trusting relationship, that's where it ends. That's everything stops. It's all about trust and communication and talking about what it is that you're willing to do with your partner and you being able to trust that they're going to not go beyond what it is you've already agreed to.
Would it be safe to say, and I know we're getting off track, but that's why we call this off the chain, would it be safe to say that in some real-life situations that the level of trust was perceived, however the level of trust was betrayed and it spilled over into that abuse situation?
I think that's true in any relationship. I mean, you know, it doesn't even have to be. I think people think that BDSM is something to be, you know, reviled and that it is abuse. But in a true relationship, it's not. And that can be the case in any relationship. You trust someone who, out of nowhere, even if you're not even in a BDSM relationship, if there's someone that you trust who all of a sudden, you know, slaps you across the face, that's abuse. And, you know, so I think that you can't, you can't say that, like I said, I think BDSM is very misunderstood.
And that's where I wanted you to go with that, because, like you say, people get the wrong idea if they're not educated. And in anything we do, in order to understand it, we have to be educated.
Right. And people are, you know, in general, and I don't want to stereotype or, you know, pigeonhole people, but I think, a lot of times we're afraid of things that we don't understand.
Yeah.
And if we don't understand them, and some people are, maybe they don't want to understand. They stereotype and, they don't really understand the dynamic between two people. And, again, it's between two people. What they choose to do, that's their choice. That's how they want to live their life. And there's nothing wrong with it if they both agree that this is what they want to do.
Within the parameters of the trust and the communication.
Absolutely. I said that's what negotiations and contracts and safe words are. But it is all about communication and trust, for sure. You know, there's a lot of trust in that type of relationship.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to, her covers on her books are killer covers, I'm telling you. Ladies, if you're into hot men, oh my goodness, they will make you drool. Because they are absolutely amazing. But this is what LK says, under secrets of betrayal, and the thing about this particular synopsis that I was reading earlier, LK, is you added a dynamic that is so prevalent in today's world that is just makes me want to read it. And this is what she says. She says, this book contains dark elements that may be difficult for some readers. So she puts that caveat in there. But the secrets of betrayal, the synopsis is like this. Betray, verb, to deliver to an enemy by treachery. Sold to a sex trafficker by her drug-dealing boyfriend, Phoebe Lawson possessed first-hand knowledge of the secrets of betrayal. She'd given up all hope. Her life no longer held any meaning. She would have wished for death to come and take her away, except she knew wishes were wasted on people like her. Until the day he entered her life, he was a beacon of light in the bleakness she called existence. His arrival sparked a longing inside her that maybe hope wasn't a useless emotion after all. And then she says, heal, verb, to make sound or whole. Donovan Jeffries was the charming one, the flirty social dom of the local BDSM club Eden. He thought he'd found the perfect submissive until she betrayed him with another. He closed himself off, vowing to never give his heart to another woman until the day she entered his life. Her despair touched a part of his soul he thought forever lost, and he would move heaven and earth to piece all of her broken parts back together. The way that is written, the story of being sold as a sex slave, which is very prevalent in today's society, just jumped out at me. It made me want to read the book because I wanted to know the who, what, when, where, and how, and then go kill the guy that sold her.
Spoiler alert.
To me, that's an amazing story with it in itself. What in the world possessed you to write about trafficking? Now it's one of our hot buttons because girls disappear all the time and they wind up and God knows where. What an amazing story.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I don't know where the ideas come from. They just kind of pop into my head. And I actually had finished the series. All the books are standalone. They don't actually, you can read them alone. But the book before Secrets of Betrayal, I don't plot. I'm a pantser, which means I write by the seat of my pants.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up with this plot twist at the end of the last story because it had to do with the previous story's heroine's father and, like, kind of the criminal activity that he was involved in. And then it was kind of, well, what if I did this? And what if she was this? And so, but it percolated for a while because I actually wrote a novella in between those two books. So I didn't really have it all kind of played out in my head. The thought kind of popped in my head as I was writing the book before it. And I just thought that it would be a really, because it is such a hot button right now, and I thought it would make for a really interesting storyline where you have someone who has been, in this horrific environment and circumstance for so long, and then you have this dominant who, you have someone who's not into the BDSM, who's also been you know, scarred and traumatized, and how would submission kind of help her? How would it help her gain her control and her strength back? Because some people think that submission is, you know, that you're a doormat, and yet it's actually a very powerful position to be in. And so I thought it would be kind of an interesting twist to use her submission and learning how to be submissive as a way to help her gain that power back that was stripped from her.
That really jumped out at me when I was reading it, because I'm thinking, wow. Now, I know you probably had to do some research on trafficking in the slave trade in order to make it believable.
Well, I did a little bit. This particular story, the book starts out when she is rescued. So I didn't really delve into a lot of the sex trafficking, because I didn't want to get bogged down with kind of like the details that didn't really, in her particular case, weren't the core of the story.
Uh-huh.
The core of the story is her healing. And so I didn't want to focus on too much on how she was sold and how they transported her and where they kept her and things like that. I wanted to focus more on after it happened. She's been rescued and her healing and growing and becoming this more empowered woman after she, you know, after everything happened. And so I tried to make it in a way where she was kind of treated well in the aspect of that she was, which doesn't make it any better, but in the aspect of that she was a favorite of someone who, for him, treated her the best that he could. So that part of it I didn't do a lot of research in. I did more of the psychological recovery.
Made me want to read it. That's excellent. Now, this other one. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't read romance because it's not my shtick, but LK's done got my antennas up now, because it's not just romance. It is romance with a kick. With His to Protect, Secrets number 3.5, the daughter of a drug addict always looking for her next fix, Catherine Marsh grew up learning how to fend for herself. Her only saving grace, neighbor Emmett Jackson. Emmett's house was Katie's refuge when things got tough. He also became the father she never had, until one fateful night when Katie witnesses his murder. She runs to the police, not realizing that someone knows what she saw. Daniel Weber, always dreamed of being a police officer. Graduating from the academy at the top of his class, he quickly moved up the ranks from beat cop to lead detective. He was well-respected in the precinct until he made a costly mistake. His life is in a downward spiral, and he's days away from suspension when she walks through the door. Instinctively, he knows Katie will either be his downfall or his redemption. What happens when a cop, whose career is on the line, falls for the key witness in a murder? Can he protect her before she comes the killer's next victim? Again, LK, I'm saying to myself, okay, who, what, when, where, and how? What an amazing storyline. Where did that one come from?
Well, Detective Weber is actually, and believe it or not, that is the one novella in the, even though it's labeled Secrets 3.5, it's actually the one story in the Secret series that is BDSM. It's actually a vanilla, just your regular romantic suspense romance. But he featured, Daniel featured in very prevalently in books 2 and 3. Book two, he was kind of the, he was interested in my heroine, and unfortunately, obviously, he did not get the girl. But he kind of had this kind of pissing contest going on between the hero and him, and they've had this kind of love-hate relationship, which carried over into the third book. And then I thought, you know, this poor guy has gone through all of this stuff. He really needs, he didn't get the girl in the second book, so he really needs his own romance and his own woman to fall in love with. And, you know, he's a police officer, and I thought, well, you know, what happens if someone witnesses a murder and she kind of makes him see that things aren't always black and white, there's a little bit of gray, so he kind of toes the line because he's already in trouble, and so he has to kind of toe the line and ride the fence of what he's willing to do to keep her safe.
Made me want to read it. Now, you're not going to believe this, but our hour is almost up.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember at the beginning before we went live, and when you said, how long is this? And I said, it's an hour show, and you go, and I could hear the gasp in your voice, like, what are we going to talk about for an hour? And I said, I'm going to say, you're not going to believe this, and you're going to say, what? Well, here we are, full circle.
I see that. Oh, my goodness.
And the time has just flown right by. We've talked, and we haven't even covered half of your books.
This is true.
And the two that we've talked about are so interesting. And no, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot go yet. You've got to wait until after the show, because if Miss LK is willing, I want to bring you back in May or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to return.
Because what will happen is you will become a regular on the show, and people, you will get a following here on the show, and people will go, okay, what's she got out now? What's she doing now? They'll want to know what you're doing.
Excellent. Yes, I would love to come back. Thank you so much.
See, and you won't be nervous at all. Because now
I know what to expect.
Yeah, you're an old pro, and it's just a conversation between two friends and 100,000
right.
listeners. No pressure there.
Yeah, not at all. It's a good thing that it's radio and not video.
Oh, you would do just as fine on video, because I've had people tell me that I put them at so much at ease that they forget they're even on the radio.
Yeah, but then I couldn't be in my pajamas.
Sure you could. Sure you could. Of course.
Well, you know.
We would call it fireside chats.
Oh, there we go.
Winter evening fireside chats. Now, how much more relaxed can you get than that?
This is true. This is very true.
So before we run, and when the show goes dark, I don't want you to hang out because I got some things to tell you. But before I ask you, tell the audience where you can be found, I want to say thank you so very much for being a guest on the show and spending an hour with me. It's I loved every minute of it. It is such a hoot to talk to you and bring you back and talk some more shop and find out what Miss P's up to.
Oh, Yvonne, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So now tell the folks where you can be found.
Well, as my bio says, I'm a social media addict. So I can be found pretty much everywhere. You can find me on Facebook. My Facebook page is LK Shaw Author. You can find me on Twitter. My sign is at LK Shaw _ author. I'm on Instagram also at LK Shaw _ author. You can follow me on Amazon. and BookBub. And I also have a Facebook group, a reader group, where I do exclusive content. So you get to see all the teasers and the excerpts and covers before everybody else does. And that is on Facebook, called the L.K. Shaw's Luscious Ones.
Ooh.
Yes. And then you can find my website at lkshawauthor.wixsite.com/lkshawauthor.
So, see, she's like me, ladies and gentlemen. She is everywhere. So go and check her out. Now, everyone that listens to this show for any length of time knows that there's several things that I say at the end of the show. One of them is, don't just feel special, be special, because if you just feel special, then you'll never be special. And the difference between who you are today and who you want to be next week is what you do today. So if you want to change the person that you are now to who you want to be next week, then change what you do. If you don't, then just keep doing what you do and run around in circles. If you want to achieve greatness, ladies and gentlemen, please stop asking permission, because no one will give it to you. You just go out and achieve your greatness. Because if you wait for permission, you're just going to get dragged down into the quagmire of self-defeat, low self-esteem, and no self-confidence. If you have a dream, make it real. I don't care what the naysayers do. Go out there and do it. Doesn't matter what it is. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. And how you leave others feeling after they have had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that is indeed your trademark. People will forget what you look like. They will forget your name. They will not remember what kind of car you drove or even what you wore. But I can promise you that the way you leave them feeling after having been around you, they will never, ever forget that. They will not even remember what day of the week it was that you made them feel that way. But they will always remember how you made them feel. And if you don't believe me, go out and try it. If you're in the grocery store and you're in the checkout line and the cashier's had a particularly bad day, maybe somebody got up on the wrong side of the bed or had PMS or had a fight with their maid or just as an unhappy person, period, and they yelled at the cashier because I guess she didn't hold her mouth right. You tell that cashier what a beautiful smile she has, and I guarantee you she will never forget that, because you will have made her day. So make it a habit to make someone else's day, because not only do you make their day, but you make your own day. It's so much easier to be kind than it is to be unkind. You got to work at being unkind. Trust me, I've seen it in action. So it's much easier to be kind to people. No matter how unkind they are to you, you be kind to them, because then that sort of makes them feel bad. They won't admit it, but it will make them feel bad. So Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, join me when best-selling author James Swain will be on the show. We will have shows all next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It just worked out that way. They will be all at Eastern Standard Time. And I want to thank each and every one of you for allowing us into your homes tonight. My guest, author L.K. Shaw, and I appreciate so very much y'all being with us tonight. And until Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, with author James Swain. Until then, this is your host, Yvonne Mason, with Off the Chain, and my wonderful, wonderful guest, who I simply adore, author L.K. Shaw, saying, stay warm, stay dry, and love each other. Until Monday night, we say good night. All right, we are off the air, but our conversation is going to show up in the archives. But I wanted to let you know, L.K., that when we get off of here and I close down the show and it uploads into the archives, I'm going to take the link and put it on my page, and I'm going to tag you in it. And I want you to take that and put it out everywhere, for people to go listen to at their leisure. Also, tomorrow I will put it up on podcast.com, Podcast Garden, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. And I will tag you in those links as well. That is my gift to you to take and use, put it on your website, put it on Twitter, put it everywhere. And if you use hashtags, if you noticed when I put it up tonight, I was using hashtags. If your Twitter account is linked to your Facebook account, it will automatically feed over to your Twitter account with those hashtags.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I don't know if it is or not. I'm not, like, the greatest with linking things, so I'm not sure if it is or not, but I'll have to look and see.
Yeah, go in and look, and then if it isn't, link it. And then when you use the hashtags, what happens is, like, say, somebody is looking for romance. If they do hashtag romance, you're going to pop up.
Oh, okay.
If you use that as a hashtag. If somebody's looking for LK Shaw and they do hashtag, you know, LK Shaw on Twitter, you're going to pop up. It gives you more exposure.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to look and see how I can link them.
Yes, and so automatically the show goes up to YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, FM.com, and TuneIn Radio. And then sometimes when I pull up the show, I find it on other podcasts that I haven't put it on but somebody else has.
Oh, wow.
So, and I always use the tagline, one of the tags that I use is my authors or my guests, whoever's on my show. So if you go in and you type in your name, you're going to see yourself on Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, on FM.com, on YouTube, on those five sites I told you about, plus maybe some other sites that I haven't even put you up on that somebody else did.
Well, that's very cool.
So now, my darling, you're going to be heard all over the place.
Ooh, all right.
All kinds of exposure.
I know. That's great. That's wonderful.
That's why we're heard in over 70 countries.
That's insane.
I love it. Because I'm seeing y'all succeed in places, Sudan, South Africa, Germany, Italy, Japan, New Zealand, of course, Australia, Portugal, Spain, Brazil, Colombia, where else? Zimbabwe. I think we're heard in Zimbabwe, of all places. Russia.
Wow.
The Netherlands. Ireland, Scotland, Finland. So y'all are getting all kinds of exposure. So when you see an uptick in your books that are international upticks, it's from exposure to this show.
Oh, that's just fantastic.
So get ready to fly, my darling one.
I hope so. I hope so. It's wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me to join tonight. It was a great experience.
Well, see, and like I said, next time, and not just me, but anybody else that asks you to do a podcast or a show, you say, "Oh yeah, I'm an O-Pro at this." And if they say,
yeah.
"Well,
it's nerve wracking when you're doing something new, you know, that you've never done."
Yeah. Well, and especially if you don't have a script. But see, if I do a script, then my guests are too busy trying to think of the answer to the question before I'm through asking the question, so they can't just relax and talk about the things that come out of their mouth because they're too busy trying to stay one step ahead of the questions. And so if you're ever, just a little bit of advice, if you're ever on another show and somebody says, give me 10 questions you want me to ask, say, no, let's just do it off the cuff. Go do a deep dive on me, research me. Here's my bio. Here's some things about me. Let's just do an off-the-cuff show, and it will go so much smoother.
I will remember that for sure.
All right, my dear, I'm going to let you go and enjoy your fire and your pajamas and your hot cocoa, and I will get this up in archives and send you the link and put you down for after sometime in May, because I've got some open dates in May, and by then you'll have some new books out.
Yes, I should have probably 3 new ones by then.
Okay, I can't wait. They'll probably grab me like the first two I read did.
I hope so. That's the whole point of, you know, that's the whole point is you want to try and find something that speaks to the reader and that they're, you know, oh, this sounds so good. I want to read this.
Exactly. And if you get an opportunity, listen in to Monday Night Show.
Okay. I don't know him. James Swain?
Yes. He's an interesting
writer. Yeah, I don't know him.
He's a very interesting writer. Look him up. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay, I'll have to take a look at his stuff.
All right, my dear, I will let you go, and thank you once again. It was a very enjoyable short hour.
Yes, thank you, Yvonne. I appreciate it so much. I hope you have a great night.
All right, sweetheart, and you stay warm.
Great, thank you. You too.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.